Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very, very well. I've got Jean and myself here. We're very excited to be speaking to you today. We've been having a look at your book and very excited to read a little bit about your journey. But I wondered for our listeners whether you could tell us just very briefly in a minute or two your story.
Okay, you want to know how it started and where it went?
Yes.
Okay. I will tell you, it didn't come on all at once. It really snuck up on me, like a day at a time, an incident at a time, one more embarrassing thing that came out of my mouth at a time. It started 6 years before I was finally diagnosed. By the time it got really bad was 2011, 2010, and I had convinced myself that I had Alzheimer's. I didn't know anything about Alzheimer's, but except that you couldn't cure it. And because I believed that, like most people did back then, I didn't do anything about it. I didn't see a doctor for a very long time. And when it got really, really bad, I finally did. And he told me I had mild cognitive impairment, MCI. And a year later, I was diagnosed by another doctor. It had gotten significantly worse just in that year. And then I was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. By then, I was afraid. I had stopped socializing. My business was a total disaster. I was afraid to go anywhere because I was afraid I'd run into somebody that I was supposed to know and wouldn't. I stopped doing everything that I enjoyed and woke up, scared every single morning. And I finally realized I was going to need round-the-clock care before too very long. And that's why we moved to Mexico in 2014. Mm-hmm. And when we got here, I just happened to overhear a conversation in a restaurant about Dr. Dale Bredesen and his original study. I looked it up. The 9 people in his original study that reversed the symptoms all had the exact same symptoms as me. So my goal became, I need to talk to this doctor. And it took me 6 or 7 months to get him on the phone. And long story short, I finally did. We spoke for half an hour. He invited me to come up to California, which was a really big thing for me because by then I was very afraid of traveling alone. But I went, I met him, I listened to a presentation he gave, and I met one of the women who had reversed the symptoms. And she gave a little talk, and her symptoms were identical to mine, identical. She lived in a small place where she couldn't go anywhere without getting lost. She was afraid to drive. She couldn't remember her friends. And she was fine. I mean, she was absolutely fine, or appeared to be. She was totally coherent. And I spoke to her later, and then I spoke to Dr. Bredesen for about a half an hour. You know, somebody said I'm a part of the Bredesen business machine or something like that the other day in a comment I got on something about my book. And just for the record, he didn't charge me a nickel. And a half hour with me on a day where there was probably 100 people waiting to talk to him.
Yeah.
So I started practicing the protocol and I started getting better relatively quickly. And I think I told you, I did have a relapse. I did go back to being pretty bad because I stopped practicing the protocol. And I did that because I had lost a lot of weight, which is one of the side effects, can be one of the side effects of the protocol. And I wanted to gain some weight really, really quickly. So I said I was going to eat nothing but sugar-based products for 4 days and lose 5 pounds.
Oh,
and stop. And it didn't work out. That wasn't quite that simple.
No.
The 4 days turned into 3 weeks. In the process, I stopped taking the supplements that I take. I was almost as bad as I had been before. Not quite. But I mean, I couldn't hold a thought across a room. If I wanted to say something to somebody on the other side of a room, or yell at them rather than try and walk across, because I knew I'd forget before I got there.
Francis, one question I was wanting to ask you is, implementing change is never easy. What's your advice to both patients and carers?
What's my advice to people that are starting out?
Yeah.
My advice is start anywhere you can start. I mean, to really do the protocol right, you have to start with blood work, because you have to find out exactly what nutritional deficiencies are going on in your body or what other kind of inflammation might be going on that you don't know about. I never had hardly any of those tests done. What I did is I read the 3-case studies in the original study of 10 people, and I duplicated everything that they said that they did in those case studies, which is one of the reasons I take like 12 to 14 supplements a day. I'm sure if I got all the testing done, I'm probably doing twice as many as I need to do. As far as all the rest of it, if you're like me, like I never used to eat hardly any salads, and I used to eat a lot of sugar-based stuff. I had to cut that out. It was not easy. I also had to stop gluten, and I never realized how much I loved bread. Now I know it's because it's got so much sugar in it. But my advice would be, do whatever parts of the protocol you can do and start adding to it.
Yeah.
Do the exercise, do the meditation, do whatever you can to reduce the stress in your life. Change your diet. I don't think anybody has done it perfectly yet. And Dr. Bredesen, what he told me when I was having a hard time, he said, stop beating yourself up. You're doing great. Anything you can do is going to be an improvement, and you can't do it all at once.
Absolutely. I think that's really good advice also. Yeah. Just, making it be incremental changes, building on the changes that you are making and doing it bit by bit.
Yep. Exactly.
One of the objections...
I'm still doing changes. There's so much information that's coming out every day. I don't know if you're aware of, but in the United States, there are a lot of Facebook support pages for people with Alzheimer's, and there's new information comes out every day.
Absolutely. So I think it's, for all of us, we continue to learn and continue to develop every single day. So it is an ongoing process.
Exactly. Exactly. The more you do, the better you feel.
And, that's right. Yeah.
I got to be clear about something. My wife told me the other day I wasn't clear enough on one thing. The Bredesen protocol is not a cure. It will reverse the symptoms. But it will only do so as long as you continue to practice the protocol. If you stop practicing protocol for a month, you're going to be in trouble again.
Definitely. Okay.
I don't want to put out false hope. And I also don't want to put out false hope. The doctor is very clear that his protocol works best in the early stages of Alzheimer's. Mild cognitive impairment, stage 1, 2, 3. Myself, I was vacillating between stage 3 and 4. Once you go past stage 4, it gets harder and harder and harder.
Mm-hmm. Francis, what would your advice be to the caregivers?
Oh, Lord, don't lose your mind.
Yeah.
My advice would be get as much support as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Try and build a team, either from your family or from your church or from your neighbors. Get people to commit. One of the problems with getting help from your friends, there's two problems. One, nobody believes that your loved one is as sick as they are, because people with Alzheimer's have this unique ability to present normally for 15, 20 minutes at a time in certain settings when they're around their friends. They don't know. When your friends are talking to you, they don't know that you're not going to remember a word that was said an hour later.
Yeah.
So they don't believe that you need that much help, for one thing. That's the whole secret. You got to get help. It's the longest chapter in my book, actually. And there's lots of resources. At least in the United States, there's like a lot of resources of how to get help in your community and in your state. You can't do it alone.
No.
My other advice would be, and I don't know how my wife did it, that a guy with Alzheimer's already feels horrible. He wakes up every day scared, afraid, embarrassed. And when it's really easy to get frustrated with somebody with Alzheimer's, living with somebody is extremely challenging. And you just got to try your best and not get mad at them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it does.
That's why you need support.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you're an inspiration. You know, hearing what you're saying and looking at your book, I think you will be a big inspiration to lots of people out there who are living with this condition.
Well, in the United States, there's about 6 million.
Yeah.
And there are 25 million people taking care of them, family.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the you know, roll-on effect onto the caregivers is enormous.
Right, exactly. It's harder on the caregiver than it is on the guy that's sick.
Absolutely.
we know that. You're on the firing.
We've really enjoyed speaking to you, Francis, and really appreciate, you know, I think there was a couple of things in the interview that I think is going to resonate very much with a lot of people out there. You know, I think it's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful book for carers to read, but also for people who know, you know, the early stages of cognitive decline. I think it just it's a wonderful journey, and we thank you for sharing your time with us today.
Can I say one more thing? Do we have time for a minute?
We do. We have some time, yeah, definitely.
You said you were going to ask me what my life is like today.
Yes.
I want your patients to know the difference between today and 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer wake up afraid every morning. I'm no longer afraid to socialize. I'm no longer, the fact that I'm talking to you on the phone right now, I would not for $100,000 have done that 4 years ago.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm scared to death what I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can drive now. I had to give up driving. I mean, it's just, I got my life back. And if they follow the program, and if they're in an early enough stage, they will get theirs back too.
I think it's hugely, hugely inspirational.
Yeah.
I am the luckiest guy in the world. I died in the world.
And I think, you know, I think you'd said meeting Dale Bredesen in person really had quite an impact on you and your journey.
I became a believer. Mm-hmm. And just as equally was meeting Julie, who was a woman that had already recovered, who had been just like me.
Yeah.
Two of them. Since, not counting when I read that original study and I had a glimmer of hope. Mm. But when I went out to California and met those two, I had real hope.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I came down to Mexico to die, basically. And that's the truth of the matter. I knew I was going to need round-the-clock care. I knew I needed to be a small town, and I didn't want to be around anybody I knew when I did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now I love my life today. I socialize mm-hmm. as much now as I did when I was 30.
It's incredible. Well, Francis, I think that's about all we've got time for today. But we really want to thank you for talking to us. And we're going to put up some links, which will link into your book as well. I think it's a very, very inspirational story. And thank you very, very much for your time.
Yes, thank you.
Well, it was a pleasure doing it. And I got to tell you, before we spoke, I said a little prayer. And I said, this conversation is not about me and it's not about my book. This is about other people. And that's why I started writing the book. I started writing the book because I was so depressed about having dementia. I said to myself, well, the only way I know how to get out of being, you know, depressed and sad is find somebody else that's got problems and work with them. And that's what the book was supposed to be. It's supposed to be a book about hope. And I know you guys are pressed for time, so I'm going to let you go. I just want to know I enjoyed the conversation.
But I think absolutely just giving hope to people out there. I think it's a wonderful message.
Well, the protocol is hard, but when you think of the fact that your whole life is on the line, it becomes a lot easier.
That's very true. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate what you ladies are doing. I know it can't be easy. I know that. Anyway.
Thank you. We'll speak soon again.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.